Hey, before we get into the podcast today, I just wanted to let you guys know that we do briefly discuss sexual abuse and suicide. So if that is something that is triggering for you, feel free to skip this one and come back next week.
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
My name is Devin Wieters, and today we have the host of the My Blurred Opinion podcast, Timothy West, on with us today. How are you, Timothy?
I'm good. How are you, sweetie?
Good. How are you? Good. So, I almost said, how are you? Natural conversation.
Right.
Tell us about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
As you said, yes, I'm the host of that podcast, so we'll get to how I got to that point. But
Jen Hardy.
Busy first. Busy person. Yeah, so my name is Timothy West. I am 34 years old. I live in Pennsylvania. When I was a kid, I had a disease called Steven-Johnson syndrome, which is allergic reaction to medication. It nearly killed me, made all my hair, skin, teeth, everything fall off. Yeah, I was in a world of hurt for a long time. I did major scar tissue damage to my eyes, which so now I am currently legally blind. I can see some, but not great. My left eye's colors and motions. And my right eye is, it's hard to explain. I can see some, like I know I can see what Devin looks like. But yeah, it's challenging for sure. Yeah, I've been through a lot of things, mental health and chronic pain and bullying. I've been through a lot, but I'm here.
So
I'm kicking.
I know you said it was an allergic reaction to medication, but do you mind going in more into it? Like what like medication it was or and how did you realize that something was wrong? All that kind of.
Yeah, sure. So I went into it with, I went to the hospital, the emergency room for a really bad ear infection. So I'm like the worst case, like what you hear when like somebody says, oh, I went to the hospital for one thing and I came out with another.
Yes, and almost died. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so they started giving me amoxicillin and I started seeing like really bad reactions and started like getting hives and just breathing. A lot of things was just off. And so they gave me vancomycin and I was allergic to that. And all of a sudden, that's when my hair and teeth started falling, skin started burning off. At least that's what it looked like anyway. Essentially, I was melting. And so they had to life flight me because where I live, they don't have a burn center. And a burn center is where they send most people who are caught on fire or people who have a lot of skin issues. And in my case, I had no skin, but it wasn't because of, again, it wasn't because I caught on fire. So they had to bandage me up. So what they do is put bacitracin all over my body to help heal the wound. And then to keep it there, they wrap you up like a mummy and they constantly, multiple times a day, change those bandages. And again, you got to remember that it's excruciating pain because there is nothing, like everything is raw and sensitive. It's, yeah, it's a very weird feeling. It's just, I don't know. It's very traumatic, obviously. I do remember some of it and it's hard to explain how painful it really was. Pain scale off the charts for sure.
Yeah, I was an Ellen watcher. And I saw a boy, I don't know exactly what he had, but he had a skin condition where he had a lot of burns and stuff. And yeah, he said the bandage changes were horrible. So I can only imagine because there's like nothing there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how is it getting used to like you're healthy and then now you're disabled, or as you want to call it.
No, you're fine. No, you're not going to offend me. That's fine. No. It took me a long time to understand what that is because I was 4 when that happened. So I didn't really know what any of that meant. And honestly, I was a very happy kid. When I was in the hospital, I played with toys and I laughed and had a good time. Of course, I cried a lot too because I was in so much pain, but I really was able to put myself in some sort of mental cocoon where I had my toys, my stuffed animals, my action figures and things, and I had whatever music I was into. And I just tried to shut it out because I was in so much pain and I was so sad and things. And it helped me to just keep me from really being aware of what was going on and being really afraid because I went through many surgeries and just skin grafts and procedures on my eyes and all over my body. And so it was a lot. And even when I got out of the hospital, I was on feeding tubes and there was different parts that were removed from me, like my gallbladder. So it was a long process. So I didn't really understand what it's like to be disabled until I got into school, when I started really getting bullied and mistreated. And yeah, I was always for a long time very shameful of it because I like being different. Now I don't mind it at all. It is what it is. Do I want to go blind? No. Do I want my vision back? Sure. But if I can maintain what I have, I'm okay with it. I've lived with this for a long time, 30 years now. But yeah, it took me a long time to understand what it's like to be disabled. It took me a long time to learn a lot of these things. Like I said, I was a very young child, so I never really got to grasp the concept of disabled or anything of that.
How did you come to deal with all that bullying, and how did you emotionally deal with all that bullying and stuff like that?
Again, I was also bullied by not only kids, I was bullied by teachers. If I had to go to the bathroom, I had this one teacher wouldn't let me go. She made me sit in it. So it traumatically.
What grade was that? Oh my God.
Kindergarten, first grade, somewhere around there. I think it was first grade. Yeah. Yeah, it was a big thing. My mom.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
No, it's all right. But I was also molested in school. So I say that with a smile on my face. I know, by a nurse. And I say that now, but like a lot of that stuff screwed me up for a long time because people just did horrible things to me and I didn't really. I just thought that was okay. But yeah, it took me a long time to really understand all that shit because I got older and it was like, hey, okay, now you need to make connections with women and you need to have friends. I just thought, oh, okay, people treat me like crap. That's their way of showing love. And that wasn't obvious. But yeah, it took a lot of recovering. It took a lot of therapy and a lot more life experiences for me to understand and just go through. So yeah, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm still dealing with some of it to some degree, I guess. But overall, like a lot of it's just, it is what it is. It's life. It sucks. I'm dealing with how I deal with it. I don't expect anyone to just immediately do what I do, but I've came out on the other side okay. So I'll live with it.
First of all, I'm sorry that you went through that. And that's really hard and painful to hear. Dang. Is there anything in particular that got you through that time, helped you?
Again, a lot of my distractions were within whatever I was into. So video games or toys and whatever, music, obviously. But I didn't have a lot of friends for a long time. And I didn't know what it was like to get through it. A lot of that stuff I blacked out for a while because it's just the way I dealt with it. But no, I later in life, that's when I started to show real anger, resentment towards people. And it made it hard for me to connect with people because I'm just like, had just like a real disdain for them. And there's no real answer because it's still things I deal with today. But I think it allows me to help other people, allows me to be so transparent about myself and my story, and allows me to be able to reach out to people and try to help them, because my story, there's some really bumpy moments in my life. So, but yeah, I don't know if there's any real defining moment, because it was a time where I did try to kill myself because I was just done with life, because I just was tired of, and it wasn't like people were doing much to me at that point in time. I was out of that. It's just, there was nothing going.
You were just tired of the day-to-day, like, grind. I get it.
Well, that, and it's just
grind
like,
is I got, not the right word.
No, but it's, yeah. But I got so tired of all of that. And then I got to a place where I got away from all of it. And then I was just completely alone. I didn't have anybody. And it was just like, I was just tired of seeing everyone happy and having things I wanted and things that I felt like I deserved because I didn't do anything to deserve all these other bad things. You thought like eventually the good would outweigh the bad. And I just said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not fun. Life just for me was not fun. And yeah, so it is what it is. But yeah, but like I said, that's why I always try to be so alert and just open about what people are going through and open to just any bit of conversation about mental health, because it's so important. So because you and I talked about it before, that it's a package deal. If you have a disability, you automatically have mental health. And a lot of people have no idea what it's like to be us. It doesn't matter if you have cerebral palsy or you're legally blind or you have some other issue. The reality is it automatically comes with it because our lives are different. And yeah, it's just trying to be, for me, it's just trying to be as honest as I can to try to help somebody out there, because there might be somebody right now, a younger version of me, or whether, regardless, forget their age, but they're new to whatever their struggle is. They're sitting back and they're hanging on by a thread and they want to end their life. And maybe they hear us talking and maybe it keeps them alive. So I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I don't try to think about it that often because I just wanted a career in this. Like, I didn't set out to inspire people or whatever. But I do think about, oh, is there like an 8-year-old like I was who watched Survivor and fell in love with it for the first time? Is there an 8-year-old listening to me and being like, I want to do that? It's a weird thought to think.
No. But I mean, you came into podcasting with a different mindset. You were, like you and I talked about on the episode we did, that you were more of fanning out over that show, and you just had a different, you weren't really as open about your disability at that time. It took time and your life experience to be to fall into that role.
It did. And I, it's like really kind of, we talk about this on your podcast too, but it's really shocking to me that the older generation has connected with it as much as they have, because when I looked at my demographic on Anchor, now Spotify for Podcasters, which if you don't know, that's the website we upload our podcast to, and then that website puts it all on the platforms for you where you're hearing this. So except for YouTube, it puts it on all the audio podcast platforms. So I only have to upload it twice, which is good. But anyway, I was looking at my demographics because it tells you, okay, these are the age groups that listen to your podcast. These are the countries they're from. And the top age demographic was like 65 plus. And I was like, whoa, that is crazy to me. And we're trying to reach younger demographics too, like my age, because between my age and Timothy's age, because that's who listens to podcasts the most. But it still surprised me that the older generation was as connected with it as they are.
Yeah, and the elderly go through their own issues and they get mistreated in a lot of ways as well. And a lot of times they get forgotten about. Once they get to a certain age, people forget about the respect that they deserve because they've been here so long and they've seen so much. And so once you get to a certain point, it's like, you know, they're almost like burdens, and that's not true. And as a person with a disability, we know how that feels, because we all sometimes internalize that. We feel like burdens to people because it's, oh, we can't drive or we can't do certain things. And I don't know. I don't know the real reason behind it, but they may be more open-minded because they have seen some things. Whereas a lot of the younger generation, they feel like they've seen everything and they haven't seen nothing. Yeah, who knows what the real reason is.
Yeah, And I was surprised not to be offensive. I think the majority of older people are asking this joke, that they even knew how to work an iPhone to get on to, or a phone to get onto a podcast. So,
yeah. Hey, my grandma's 91 and she texts, so I'm proud of her.
Yes, my grandmother's barely texts, but that's all they know how to do. And in Surrey breaks, they're done. So.
That's something. I'll take it, though.
Yes.
But a lot of these grandparents have grandchildren who teach them things. That's what my grandma learned so much, because I show her things all the time. She's not super tech savvy, but she's got some things down, so.
You have to show my grandma like 15 times before she'll get it. But I love her to death. You have the Mind Bird Opinion podcast. What led you to start that?
Obviously, some of the things I've already talked about, but just years ago, 3.5, whatever it is, I was just laying there. It's COVID year 2020, the beginning of it anyway. And just one of those years. And Over the years, I always considered doing something of the sort, some sort of medium, some sort of entertainment, but my mental health continued to tell me I wouldn't be any good at it, and why this and this and all that, and all the self-doubt that we end up going through and we tell ourselves. But I'm no longer on Anchor, but when I did, I fell in Anchor. It was free, and it was the perfect starter kit for a podcast. So I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And I just put out an episode. I think I recorded it twice. I got halfway through it. I just realized I was stuttering and just babbling. And I was like, I'm going to try it one more time. And I did it again. And I was like, this is good enough. I don't want to listen to it. I'm just going to put it out. I'm not going to overthink it. It was just one of those fate things, because even though the name was perfect, but I didn't have 30 names on a board saying, which one sounds better, or put out a vote or something. No, I just kind of on a whim did all these things.
And yep, then, same with me. And then she's just like on a whim. Oh, this will be good. And just put it out. I should have probably done a little more prep, but I would have just went.
Yeah, no. And I kind of finished it up. Like I literally didn't have a plan for it. I had about 10 to 12 ideas at best. I wanted to talk about mental health. I wanted to tell my story. I wanted to interview my mom and my grandma to tell their version of the story that I couldn't tell because I was so highly medicated and really rough shape health-wise. I wanted to tell my friend Lori's story, who died of like heart failure, but she's also a cancer survivor. She just never got to tell her story. I didn't really have anything after that. And I interviewed a couple of my friends who had vision impairment. And then I started to do some research on what other people in the disability community were up to in the same vein as us, YouTubing, blogging, podcasting, all that. And I realized I was making the same mistake, not on purpose, but I was making the same mistake a lot of us were making, where we were sticking to the body part that we know, in my case, eyes. And I didn't like that. I wanted to do my part to bring the disability community together. I watched the documentary Crip Camp. And
it's
a lot
fabulous,
of
fabulous, by the way. Y'all should go watch that on Netflix. It is
on Netflix.
Yeah. Fabulous. It is a forgotten piece of history, and y'all should watch that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. No, absolutely. And and so that was another thing. And then I just, the creator of the website podmatch.com reached out to me and said, hey, I noticed you're a consistent podcaster. Do you want to join this website, and it'll help you find guests, it'll help you be guests on other people's shows? And I'm like, perfect, sure, why not? It was free. And I got about 40-50 guests off of there. Social media helped, and then I just bought equipment, and a lot of things just fell into place, like the podcast board. I saw it and I thought it was going to be too difficult to learn at first, but it was much more simple than it was than they showed on the videos online. Just everything just fell into place, and little by little it's growing, and it hit over 20,000 downloads. Like, it's doing all right. I'm trying my best to just, you know, add more to it just by having other subject matters. There's a woman I'm trying to get who wants to do something on child trafficking. But I've done things on homelessness and addiction issues and domestic violence, things I've never went through, but very interesting, very important, and parallel to a lot of our situations, because there are people with disabilities in these other communities as well and through these other struggles. But even if they don't have a disability, it's not a big deal. But a lot of times, like I said, a lot of things just fell into place for me, because at first I was trying to find someone who went through homelessness, and the first person I found, she ended up being blind. And that was not what I was seeing. I wasn't trying to find anybody with a disability, but it just worked out perfectly. And she became a friend, and obviously you and I become friendly, and I met so many great people through this. And my goal is to try to bring people with disabilities, and I should say other traumas, together and try to support each other, because I don't think we support each other enough. So I think the main answer to your question, beyond everything I just said, is I got really frustrated and inspired by the fact that there was so lack of camaraderie between us. And I wanted to try to do my part to bring people with disabilities and traumas together.
And if you ask me why I started podcasting, that would be my exact answer. That, and I wanted to be Jeff Probst, but there was nothing for him to come on. So I was like, I have to create something. And so, and what else do you do besides podcasting?
Well, I have another job. I do a lot of shopping. I have over 70 pairs of shoes. I'm always online shopping. Oh, I'm on a bowling team. I'm trying to get into more advocacy. And I'm always doing, every so often, I have some sort of speaking where I'll speak. I spoke at a school where a kid killed himself and they wanted someone's perspective on mental health and suicide prevention and all that. And they needed someone to speak. So every so often I do stuff like that. And I'm trying to get into more volunteering, whether it's with the homeless, battered children or something. I'm just, of course, I love animals. That's another passion of mine. So anytime I could do something to help animals, I'm all about it too. And sorry, my air conditioner just kicked on. I'm always trying to do something to help, and I'm got really big into fitness. I'm trying to work out more. I've always been a skinny kid, so I'm trying to just get some workouts in about 5 times a week, just trying to better myself and get into better shape. And that's been a newer passion of mine, because I just want to feel good about myself and look good, and I'm trying my best just, and I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm not doing it to get with a girl, just get people to notice me anymore. I genuinely just want to better myself by being healthier.
Yeah. That is like the best way you can go on a health journey. Cause for so long it was like, oh, I have to do it because everybody else is doing all these insane workouts, or like to impress like people. I was really close to these people, but to impress certain people, and it honestly doesn't like sustain itself that way. It just, you have to do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But can we talk about the Medicaid waivers for a second?
Yeah, sure.
What would you like to see changed with the Medicaid waivers? And explain what they are for people that don't know.
I want you to talk about it a little more, because I'm, like I said, I'm exhausted and I know more about it than me right now, because I haven't looked enough into it.
So it basically, Medicaid waivers are, they say they're designed to help you if you have a disability getting equipment and therapies and helping pay for your doctor's appointment and stuff like that. But they're basically just there for decoration. A lot of the services, some services work like they're supposed to, but not a lot of them. And it's just wait list after wait list and layer after layer. And it's just, you may as well not even have it if you're not trying to get the very basic services, because anything besides those, it's just, I don't want to say you may as well not even have it, but like the layers of paperwork and waiting, they're just bad.
No, yeah. I don't know much about them. I'll look into it. But that's like everything with us, right? Like it's, whether it's Social Security, whether it's just trying to get a job, whether it's like, there's always so many runarounds. And they just make us, like for me, I'm trying to get this procedure in Kentucky. It could possibly help my eyes. And it's like, everything is a hassle. The insurance trying to cover it. It's them sending me the right documentation so I can get this blood work done and all that. They send me the wrong things. And it's just running around, because at some point they just want you to give up, because they look at you as like a broken person and they expect, wow, they're not going to fight. But I think when people don't understand is, for some of these services, we don't have many other options. At least maybe not in the current time. Maybe in our lives, some people have more options than others, but it's for this procedure.
And I have a lot more options than others, so I'm not desperate for the services. But now that I'm trying to get a very expensive piece of equipment that my parents, God bless them, they did the best they could, but they're not rich. They can't afford this particular thing. So I have to wait. And it moved fast by comparison, but I still have to wait for God knows how long to get this thing. And I'm like, if I had no other option, if my mom and dad could lift me in and out of bed, because it's a lift to get in and out of bed, I would be in a hospital right now. So it's just, it's not like many, and I'm luckier than a lot of people in my predicament. if I was dependent on the services for everything, I don't know what I would do.
No, but they, like I said, they expect us to give up. And for some of these services, the ones that we need most, we're not going to give up because we are very strong people, and we're going to fight it out until you give up, until you actually relinquish the services that we deserved and needed to be provided. Because
yeah, they just treat you like crap and then expect you to give up. And we're like, no.
And that's why I tend to say that, like, the disability is not the hardest part. It's everything else that comes with the disability. So
yes, it's the stigma and the, oh, you're number 200. I'm not number 200. I'm actually the next one on the wait list, but this is just an example. You're number 200 on the wait list, and it's going to take approximately 20 years.
Yeah, I was told that I couldn't even get disability for 10 years. And then I made the right call. I found the right people. And in 3 months, I got it. Yeah, they tell you whatever you want to hear because you don't have the proper information. If you have the right, you have the right information, you have the right people that know what they're doing on the back channels and all that.
Yes.
You could fight it, but they want you to go to court.
Luckily, I have an awesome social worker that knows this thing inside and out because she has nephews with autism and she works in it. So luckily, I have an awesome social worker that fights for me and we don't take any BS, but you have to know the right people and the higher ups to get there people that have contacts with the higher ups to get there, because if you don't know the right people in the system, like, they just know you're going to throw your hands up and give up. So that would be my number one tip, is to find somebody that you know and trust that works in the system or close to it, and have them be your advocate in the system, because they'll BS the crap out of you if you don't.
Pretty much.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we get off?
No, I mean, like I said, I don't know who all, what your audience is and who's going to listen, but yeah, is anybody out there struggling with whatever? It doesn't have to be necessarily a disability or whatever it is. Life can be really hard at times, and find someone out there because there are, it's really hard when you feel so alone, you feel like there's no one like you. It tends to be so, like, constricting, and it tears you apart, and you can't fathom that there's thousands, hundreds, whatever, millions, however many people there are like you. In our case, there are a crap load of people with cerebral palsy. There's a crap load of people with visual impairment, but there are much rarer cases and so on. There's much rarer cases in life that you may have a weird situation that's not, it's pretty unique. But for the most part, there's going to be someone out there like you, and you can find someone that can fall into the same category as you, and they can help you. There's a lot of groups. There's a lot of people out here that are going through similar things. You really aren't alone. It's, like I said, I understand how tough life can get. It gets really bad at times. And me and Devin, we're in better places now, but we still have our moments. We still have sad days. We still have our bad days. But the good thing is our bad days are bad weeks, they are bad months, they are bad years. They fade away after a much smaller amount of time. And the older you get, and the stronger you become, and the more life experience you develop, and you develop into a stronger person. You just learn, and it just gets better. It does. I'm not going to sit here and I don't ever downplay anyone's situation, because you just don't know what someone's going through. But yeah, stay strong out there and always reach out and find somebody that can help you.
And awesome advice. I concur. Where can people follow you on social media?
I'm on Facebook. I just got on TikTok, but I hate it.
Yeah, I use TikTok because it's so good for, like, video podcasts and stuff like that. So I'll cut out little clips and put them on there. But if you really want to find out what I'm up to, Instagram and Threads is the place right now. TikTok is not my first choice, but I have to use it, so.
There's my cat, Bullet.
Hi.
There you go. Yes, I'm also a father to a cat. Yeah, but yeah, I'm mainly more on Instagram, which is like TJ Safe Space for All. You can find me at Timothy West, Timothy J West on Facebook. I said I'm on TikTok, but I have 11 followers right now. I literally just got on. I'm just trying to figure it out. They already took down one of my videos, and I literally, all I was doing was talking about a podcast, like promoting an episode. So I don't know what I did to mess that up, but I'll look into it more. I mean, I'll try to put some effort into it. But yeah, again, of course, you can find my podcast, My Blurred Opinions, on any platform, Apple, Spotify, Google, all the usual suspects. But yeah, like I said, I'm out here. I'm not hard to find. And if you do reach out or you comment or whatever, message me on any of these platforms, I will get back to you. I always like to interact with everybody and try to help somebody however I can. So I think it's very key because all these people I do meet through the podcast, I do keep all their numbers for the ones who want to stay in touch and try to check on everybody. So, yeah.
And he does. He's a very sweet man. So he does.
I try.
Don't forget to subscribe to my channel. Follow me on social media. The links will be in the show notes. And hit the bell if you've subscribed on YouTube so you'll get notified when we upload a video. He's ringing a bell with his hand. And we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. If you're listening on the podcast app, please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.